Survivors of COVID-19 and their families are gathering outside of the South Carolina State House in Columbia today to grieve those who have died during the pandemic. Summer Barrios of Seneca, South Carolina, is part of that remembrance. Her husband, Robert, is thankfully alive, but he is still navigating long-term health complications after testing positive for COVID in July. And Robert is home now after 81 days in the hospital and a rehab stay. And his journey has been hard on the family's overall health as well as their finances. Summer, welcome to Here and Now.
I appreciate y'all having me on.
Your husband, Robert, is 46 years old, and we understand he's having trouble talking after this COVID-19 diagnosis. How is he doing?
He had a trach, and so he has some scarring in the throat, and he's still on supplemental oxygen here at home. So he gets, you know, he's struggling still, but we're just grateful to have him home.
His lungs are only operating at about 50% capacity right now. He could have lung disease brought on by damage from COVID-19. Your husband was a warehouse manager doing shipping and receiving when he got sick. Can you take us back to that time? How did you find out?
It was the last Monday of June, beginning of July. Was just hanging out around the house and everything. And then Monday he got up real early to go to work. A few hours later, calls me incredibly sick. We're lucky he even made it home, because if you were to, anybody was to talk to him now, he would tell you that he really doesn't remember any part of July, including that day. His illness, you know, just literally came out of nowhere. And it was definitely a long 81 days.
What was his experience like in the hospital?
He was on a ventilator four times, the last one being a trach. He experienced ICU delirium, had a collapsed lung, aspirated multiple times, which also caused bacterial pneumonia. One morning, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of the first week he was there, he called me really early in the morning crying. Excuse me, it's kind of hard to relive this. Crying, saying that he was going to be ventilated. That was the first of four times.
Oh, Summer, this is so hard. I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, we're just blessed to have him home. You know, unlike so many other people that have lost someone, you know, our hearts, you know, definitely go out to them.
How long have you all been married?
Actually, October 16th was our 10-year wedding anniversary. So he was actually out in time for that, which we were very blessed to have a chapel here in the Clemson area to let us do a vow renewal. I went from before he got sick to just us being, you know, happy and cautious and doing what the medical professionals suggested to having to think about his funeral. And then when he finally came out, the vow renewal was definitely not the first thing on my mind. It was protecting him and protecting our immune compromised daughter. You know, so we were blessed that people stepped up to help us make that happen.
And in light of all of this, though, I mean, it's also been financially hard. This has not been an easy road for you and for many of the other families. You're a one income household. Robert was your sole provider. How have you been getting by?
Well, you know, at the beginning, when he first went in, you know, we kept in touch with his employer and stuff and his boss. And he had 40 hours of what's called COVID pay. And that was basically just a week, you know, worth of pay. And then after that, we were lucky enough to find out that he had short-term disability through his work. And that is $300 a week. It runs out basically at the end of December, which is really hard, you know, for just about anybody to live on, let alone somebody that has now two medically complex people at home. Still, of course, have bills coming in, including medical now. You know, like you know, his lung function was at right around 50%. And in middle of December, we're supposed to go, he's supposed to go back to do another one to see if there's any progress, if any. We're possibly looking at the diagnosis of restrictive lung disease brought on by the COVID damage and the double pneumonia.
Your 12-year-old daughter, Jessica, is there with you. Can I say hello?
Yeah, sure.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica. This is Tanya. How are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I am doing okay. I'm happy to talk to you. How have you been? How have things been like for you? Life?
Well, it's been much easier since, you know, he came home, and it was hard for all of us, you know, just thinking, you know, he's sick, put on ventilator for 4 times, you know.
Yeah. What's your dad like? What's your relationship like with your dad?
Well, I'm pretty much a daddy-daughter girl with him. We have, mm-hmm. you know, we have a really good relationship, so any time he can always make you laugh, you know.
What would you say to other kids out there who they know about COVID-19, but maybe they don't think it's a big deal, or they're just not directly impacted like you have been impacted? What's kind of the message you would like to say to them?
I would say, you know, it's good to wear a mask and, you know, social distance, because one day this could be you, you know. You never know when your life could be perfect 1 minute and crazy the next, basically.
Yeah. Jessica, is it true your 12th birthday was also the same day as your parents' wedding anniversary?
Yeah, it was. I was so happy for him to come home before my birthday.
Yeah. How did you guys celebrate?
We went for a little dinner, then birthday cake, presents, stuff like that.
Yeah, I know it probably felt so good to be able to have him there, even though he's pretty sick still.
Yeah, the main part I really liked is him being home and at least strong enough to be there with us.
Jessica, thank you for talking to me. I really appreciate it. Can I have your mom back?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Jessica.
Okay, I'm back.
You know, hearing her speak about this, thinking about everything that you're going through, how is this all influencing how you're feeling about who should be leading this country through COVID-19? Of course, that's on the minds of all of us right now. We're just a few days out from the election.
Well, I know both of my husband and my opinion on that has changed, especially after COVID hitting so hard at home. My husband was a Trump supporter prior to him getting sick. But when he came out and was watching the news when Trump came out and said that he had COVID, and, you know, he did the little walkthrough and everything, both of our opinions on who we were going to vote for definitely went to the Democratic side. We just hope whoever wins, whether it be Trump or Biden, that people start listening to the medical professionals that are in power and not to the political, because we, like my daughter said, we know how fast COVID can destroy a life. We hope that both Congress as well as whoever has the presidency really starts listening and realizing that, you know, the once frontline workers are now the ones that are fighting COVID and are, like my husband, you know, just forgotten by the administration.
You're part of a group called COVID Survivors for Change. So I wonder, what exactly do you want to see changed when it comes to how our country is managing this pandemic?
I do believe that this should be a bipartisan, you know, issue where everybody comes together for the sake of this country and for, you know, to honor the ones that have passed needlessly from this virus.
Summer, I really appreciate you taking this time with all that you're going through and with your family to share your story with us.
Well, I appreciate you having us on.
That was Summer Barrios talking to us about her husband Robert's long-haul journey with COVID-19 and how it's impacting their family's health and finances. We also heard from their 12-year-old daughter, Jessica.